Church. How are you this morning? Good. I stand up here excited to announce one of the newest members of our family, Aaron and Nathaniel over here. We have they've given birth to another baby son. That's three boys. It's exciting. Yeah, his name is Maxwell Theodore Venstra. What a good name. Say that three times. Excellent. Now we continue our series on growing young. We've just got a little bit younger this week. It's exciting with the addition of a baby. And we continue looking at, we're number five of our series. And today the topic is prioritize everywhere. Now I'm a product of a church that prioritized everywhere. When I was 14 in grade 9, I was invited to join the children's ministry team to be a leader and a helper in their children's ministry team. Now, I was super excited and thrilled to join this team. I made sure that I got there really early. Now, our service started at 8:30, and so the kids' ministry team, they normally got about maybe half an hour to maybe the leader or coordinator got there 45 minutes to an hour before the service. And I recall that week, I was so excited to be part of the team the first week. I was there before the coordinator was there. I was there waiting outside going, where are they? Like, I'm ready to go. I'm excited. And so when the coordinator arrived, they were excited that I was there, and they were like, oh, great. We can get you on. You can bring the flags out and get it all set up and excited. You know, our young people are excited to engage in different ministries, and they're excited to get in, and they bring that enthusiasm in the ministries. They bring the enthusiasm. I want to draw you to our first passage today, which is from Luke chapter 12. Now, Jesus is talking about various things here, and he focuses and hones in on the idea of money and possessions. So Luke chapter 12, from verse 31, it says, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven. And the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it. No moth can destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. As we focus on this idea of growing young and prioritizing everywhere, the first question you ask when you look at prioritizing is, where do you invest? Where do we invest as a church, both our finances and our time into growing young? Now, in our specific children's, youth, and young adults ministries, I've looked over the church budget. I got Jared to kind of hone over and try and estimate how much we invest as a church in these ministries. Now, it's difficult to fully capture everything we invest in these ministries, but for the specific programs, you'll find that about 13.25% of our budget goes directly to these ministries. Now, that may seem like a small amount of the budget, but when you consider other staffing pressures and costs and buildings, insurances and all those things that make the church kind of function, which is also integrated in the young people, that's quite a significant amount that we invest as a church. Now, I'm sure there's many churches out there that invest a significantly less than that. Now, if you are one of the early ones and you grab the members meeting agenda, or you're part of our kids ministry team that we've been talking to, you would know that we as a church have identified the need to invest more into our children's Sunday ministries. We've identified the need invest in a children's ministry coordinator, someone that we pay that helps coordinate some of our children's ministries. And so once we employ that person, our investment goes from 13.25 to over 18% of our budget of what we spend will go to our young people. But not only that as a church, is we invest time, people, and resources. One of the greatest treasures we have as a church is you. Your time, your investment, you are almost the greatest treasure we have as a church. Now, in our children's ministries, youth and young adults ministries, 97 of you, some out of the room now, investing already, are volunteer for our ministries. 97. Now, we have an average church of about between the 200 to 300 people. 97 of you are directly involved in one of our children's, youth, and young adults ministries. That's incredible. And there are other people that are involved just sporadically, every now and then. When we put on a carnival at Glenmore, there's about 30 volunteers that step in and do that. I haven't included him in the 97. That we invest a significant amount of volunteers. Now, it's almost 33% of our church are directly involved in our specific age-based ministries in our church. So when we talk about growing one, we talk about prioritizing young people everywhere. We as a church significantly invest both finances and people into this area. We do quite well in prioritizing our young people. But it's more than that when you talk about prioritizing. It's more than just our specific age-based ministries that make a church that prioritizes young people everywhere. So I want to draw you to Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 6. Jesus once again talks about the kingdom of God, and he speaks about the greatest in the kingdom. About the time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of God?" And Jesus called a little child to him and put the child among them. Then he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. But if you cause one of these little ones who trusts in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea." So Jesus, in his discussion about the kingdom of God, directly involves children in it. He points towards the children. He directly says, unless you become like these children, turn from your own ways and become humble as a child is humble, you won't understand or you won't enter into the kingdom of God. But Jesus demonstrates children are integral to our church family. Without children in our family, how are we meant to understand the depths of the kingdom of God? We can have people preach about the theological understanding of these various aspects, go in depth of the Bible every single week, but unless we understand it like a child, their humility, engage with children, we cannot understand the depths that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is like. We need to learn to become humble like a child. Children are so important in church family. Without children, we're missing something. But without children, not just in their age-based ministries, not just in the areas, but children amongst the entire life of our church, so we can understand what it means to be a community of Jesus followers. In the Jewish community, they understood this. The Jewish community, they understood an element of this. But there's something more that Jesus is pushing into here. See, in the Jewish community, children had some value within the community. Often they referred to as kind of little adults or becoming adults, that age. You know, they were considered integral to the community, but they weren't actually considered central to the community. You know, once they were an adult, or once they became an adult, you know, they kind of were giving back to the community. They were able to give back and invest within the community, become part of it. Once they were an adult, they became part of that community. So, but Jesus teaches something a little bit different. He turns it a little bit on its head and says, no, not once they become an adult, they become part of our church community. They are integral to the church community now. That unless you understand the kingdom of heaven through the eyes of a child, you will not understand the depth and you won't understand the depth of it. The humility that we learn from children helps us unlock the secrets and the truths which Jesus has in the kingdom of God. Now, to gain access to this kingdom, we are to understand it like a little child. This prioritize everywhere is one of the 6 core commitments to churches that are growing young. Churches that are prioritizing young people everywhere. As I said, we invest a decent sum of money to our age-based ministries, invest a significant amount of volunteers to these ministries. But taking one step further is engaging young people in the entire life of the church. In the entire life. Churches that grow young realized that if you prioritize young people everywhere, they will in fact prioritize the church. If you prioritize young people everywhere, they will prioritize the church. Now, Brett shared on our week 2 of this series talking about empathy. And there's something he shared in that message where he said that young people, you know, there's a lie that young people are not committed these days. That young people are just, you know, they're just a bit flaky. You know, the idea that young people are just not as engaged and committed into various ministries or the church these days. And Brett shared that as you actually understand it through the eyes of a child, you understand that they've got too many things to commit to. They've got way too many options to choose from, and so it makes it difficult, the culture that we've created for them, to actually commit to something. And it's very difficult. But what shows in this research and understanding is that as a church community, we can be different. If we're emphasizing young people, we're putting them as a priority, they will in fact prioritize the church. That the church will go above other things that they're prioritizing, other commitments that they have. If they feel valued and loved and part of our community now, they are more likely to become part of the church community for their entire life. They want to make church a priority, and they will make church a priority. These are the stories of young people investing in the church community. When I was invited to be a part of the children's ministry team, I made church a priority. I made sure that I was there early, there ready to serve, and I made sure that I was also attending the Sunday evening service, so then I was part of the church community worshiping and hearing God. And it actually wasn't until I became part of the volunteer base and the team that that shift happened. It wasn't something intentional that I went, okay, I need to make sure I do this. It just was something I did. And so when we invite our young people and children onto various teams and volunteer teams in the life of our church, they will make this shift and prioritize the church. They will see it as a value that they need to have. You know, it's about inviting kids onto our teams. One of the excellent things is you saw the worship team this morning. You got Cooper here on the drum box. You know, you got Isaac here, who's one of our young people on the keys. If you looked back, you would have seen Xavier on the sound and playing with that. So the production team are prioritizing young people everywhere. You see, the production team are inviting young people onto their team to be part of it. You know, the children's ministry teams, our kids' teams, are inviting young people into that space. They've got helpers in the creche and in the Sunshine Kids, engaging with kids, doing various jobs and roles within that. You know, and we give them a shirt and they feel part of the team. You see, in our youth ministries, you know, we've had for many years our youth ministries like an apprenticeship type program where the older kids, the grade 11s and 12s, we invite them along to be like apprentice leaders. You know, for people that the young people can look to as a responsible person, that we engage with and we invest into them. We see that they are worth value and we invite them on part of our team. And we give them a shirt. We said, you're part of the team. It's exciting. In our Glenmore ministries, now this is a bit harder to invite kids as part of the team because most of the Glenmore ministries are during school time. But our Family Connect program isn't. And so we've got some of the families there that are part of the ministry. You know, some of them are there serving food. I've got one of the kids there. She's very happy to pray before we and say grace. And so we get her up, and she's super excited to say grace. You know, if I've got a book there to share as the story, they're all putting their hands up because they want to hold the book. You know, they want to be part of the ministry, and there's energy that comes from that. Carolyn shared this morning that her desire was to have young people on the mission task force. That's putting a priority on young people. And she shared that she wants them because they bring a sense of energy and enthusiasm to the ministry. You know, there's often times where you're just thinking in the ministry, oh, we're just going nowhere. I just feel like we're not doing anything. And then a young person comes in with the energy and enthusiasm. They're super excited to be part of the team, and it just lifts the entire team. It just lifts the entire ministry. And this is what we're doing. We're already doing these things. You know, the difference is that we can talk about these things constantly. You know, we can get up and we can preach through these things for the entire year. We can continue to share that this is a priority of our church. But unless we move it from speech to a reality, that we make it practical, we don't transfer into a church that is growing young. We don't make the shift. This idea from rhetoric, just talking about it, to reality. And this, we're making a reality. Our budget demonstrates that. Our volunteer heart demonstrates that. The fact that you can point to various ministry teams and you see young people engaged and trained and equipped in these ministries. We are prioritizing young people. But the thing about this, it's not just something we can do as a once-off. It's not something that we can just do and invite in some area of the church. Prioritizing young people everywhere is a lifestyle commitment. It's something that we need to constantly invest and focus on. It's not something we can just do once off. Like exercise, for example. Now, if I decided today I'm going to exercise and I go for a walk and exercise, and then in a month I go, okay, I better exercise again and keep walking in a month. And in another month I go, okay, maybe I should go for a walk again and exercise. Now, I'm not going to get fit doing that. Exercise is one of those things. It's a constant commitment that you need to do. You can't just do it every few months or every, you know, couple of weeks. It's something that is constant. It requires constant focus and intention. It's a lifestyle commitment that we invest into. Brett, when he was putting this series together, his main illustration to us was this idea of a treadmill. Now, with the treadmill, or maybe one of those big escalators at the airport, if you stand still, you know, on a treadmill, you go backwards. If you stand still, you go backwards. But if you take a slow step forward, you stay still. You stay in the same spot that you're staying. To actually move forward, you actually have to intentionally go faster. And that's what happens with this idea of growing young. If we just invest a little bit, or some area of our ministries, you know, if we were just to say as a church, we have kids ministries and we have youth ministries and we invest in young people, that is not enough to be a church that is growing young. That is like walking slowly on the treadmill. We're walking slowly, we're staying in the same position, we're doing fairly good. And that's good. We're not going backwards. We're not growing older. But for us to actually start moving forward, we need to invest everywhere. And prioritizing young people is one of those core commitments that we can do and that we are doing. Last week I shared this passage from 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1 verse 5, Paul writes, he says, "I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that that same faith continues strong in you." Now, that's what we want to see in our church, generational faith. But what happens if that doesn't happen? We just have to go to the book of Judges to see that. Judges 2 verse 10 says, "After that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he's done for Israel." It's depressing when the next generation doesn't grow up in the Lord. It's a spiral of darkness. But we don't want to see that as a church. We want to be a church that is engaging with the next generation in every area of our life. I'm encouraged to see Xavier up there on the sound desk, because a few years ago I was speaking with a dad, and they said they were struggling in their church to get his son just to engage in the youth ministry, to engage in in the church. He just seemed disinterested, and so they were just struggling. And so they made an intentional decision to move churches. And that's a hard decision to do that, to uproot and lift and move churches. And as they integrated into this new church, one of the leaders in the church saw this young boy and said, do you want to be part of the sound team? Do you want to join part of our sound team? And obviously this boy had never done sound before. He had never engaged in anything in the life of the church there before. And he did. And his father shared that as he did that, he got engaged in the youth ministry. He got engaged in a discipling group within the life of church. And he started to prioritize the church as something that he did. This happens as we invite them onto our various ministry teams. And I have story after story of where this happened. And a friend of mine, we grew up in youth ministry together. We went to a discipling group. He came to our Friday night youth ministry. You know, we had the same. He had Christian parents. He had siblings that knew the Lord. But he was just disengaging with church. He shifted churches and went to another church. And it just fit for him. He was invited onto the youth ministry team. He went on to do Bible college, and he's an active member and vital member of that church community. You know, we want to be a church that is prioritizing and engaging young people. And if we invite them into various areas of our church, as they volunteer, they will start to prioritize the church. But as I said, it's not about just our siloed or age-based ministries. It's about the entire team, the entire church. Mission Task Force having different people. Morning Tea having different people. Now, there's leaders amongst our church here today that are involved in various ministries. Now, some can have young people. I think most can have our young people engaged and involved. Some can't because of the difficulty of time. But the simple invite to have a young person on your team can energize it. Now, children want to be involved. They want to have something to live for. And one of the biggest studies that shows that children want to be part of something that is doing something for the community. You know, you see a lot of young people today, you know, almost like activists. You know, you see climate change activists, and you know, they want to get involved in something that is doing something good. So why don't we invite them into our church, which is doing something good? We invite them onto our teams, help them understand what we're a part of and how they're part of it. And some of those ways can be, you know, simply involving children into various growth groups. If you're part of a growth group that has kids there or has young people there, sometimes they're siloed off because they're noisy or whatever it is, but to invite them to be part of the study, to engage them in that way, would be great. You know, invite children along to our working bees, you know, maintaining this church property. Invite children onto our morning tea teams, our welcome teams. There's various areas in which we can do it, in which we're already doing it, in fact. We've got people on our sound and production team. You give a young person a shirt and say you're part of the team, their face just lights up. There's something about that they are part of something that is greater than themselves. And we have that key. We have that answer. Young people are enthusiastic and they generate energy for your ministry team. It'd be crazy not to have them part of your ministry. So that's my challenge today. If you're a part of a ministry team or you're part of an area, is there ways in which you can invite young people into that? Is there ways in which you can help them to see what we do in that space? It may be difficult. It may require more energy and focus. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. Sometimes it just takes a little bit more effort. But to see what they do and see the energy and the benefit it provides to your ministry is incredible. So let me pray. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you've blessed our church with people who are engaged with you. Lord, people who understand this. Lord, we thank you that you've invested in our church. Lord, you've given us the vision and mission to prioritize young people everywhere. Lord, we know there's ways that we can do better, but Lord, we just thank you for what we've done already. We thank you for how you're leading and you're guiding us. So Lord, continue to help us. Lord, continue to help us moving along the treadmill, to be pushing forward to growing young as a church community. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your blessings. Lord, help us this week to engage with our young people. Amen.